Chapter 7. We are escaping tonight at 9 p.m, Ned told me. Since we had left the Mediterranean Sea, he had been extremely angry about missing our chance to escape. I tried to calm him down, but nothing I said could change his mind. The sea is too rough for us to escape tonight, I said. But Ned wasn't interested in what I had to say. I want my freedom. I don't care about the rough seas, Ned shot back at me. I thought about everything that could go wrong with trying to escape from the ship. I hadn't seen Captain Nemo since we left the Mediterranean Sea. I was worried about what he was going to think of us trying to escape. I listened to the sound of the engines of the Nautilus as I made sure that all my luggage was packed. I wondered if Nemo was sitting in his cabin, hating the world, or if he was somewhere else doing something sinister. I was nervous about the escape time, and sitting still in my cabin was making me anxious. I went to the museum to take one last look around. As I went past Nemo's cabin, I noticed that the door was open, so I looked inside. The walls were covered with pictures of freedom fighters, like Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and Thaddeus Kosciuszko. I looked at the pictures and wondered what it was that Nemo liked about each of them. I thought that Nemo might have been a freedom fighter before he ran away to sea. Seeing the pictures gave me more questions to ask, and no answers. At 8 p.m, everything seemed fine with the escape plan. But just before 9 p.m, there was a bump and the whole of the Nautilus shook. I waited for a signal to come from Ned, but nothing happened. And Nemo came to find me in the museum. Do you know the history of Spain? He asked me. I didn't know anything about Spain, and I wasn't prepared to answer any questions about the country either. Nemo began to tell me the history of Spain, and then told me the story about Spanish galleons that had been filled with treasure. They had set out to sea and run into some English ships. After a great battle, the Spanish ships were sunk, and all the gold ended up at the bottom of the ocean. All of this happened in Vigo Bay, and it happens that this is where we are now, Nemo told me. He took me over to the window and we looked down at the shipwrecks below. I could see chests of treasure spilling out all over the ships. Now I knew where the gold bars on the submarine came from. Nemo and his submarine had control of all the sunken treasure that the ocean had to offer. It isn't right for you to keep all this treasure for yourself. It belongs to other people and could be put to good use instead of you hoarding it all, I told him. Who told you that I'm hoarding it all? How do you know that I am not putting it to good use? Do you think I am unaware of all the suffering people on the planet and all the helpless victims that need to be avenged? Don't you understand? He asked me crossly. I hadn't thought about it before, but I suddenly knew what it was that Nemo and Pesquet had been doing off the coast of Crete. Nemo had been giving money to help the people that were fighting back against the Turkish occupation. I went to bed that night and thought about what Nemo was doing. When I woke up the next day, Ned was in my cabin. I didn't know what had happened to spoil his escape plan, but Ned was already thinking about the next way to escape. I told him all about the shipwrecks that Nemo had shown me and where all his money was coming from. I tried to convince him that escaping from the Nautilus wasn't the best idea. I didn't need to spend very long trying to convince Ned that escaping wasn't a good idea, because the Nautilus was moving again, and we were traveling away from land and out to sea. Now there was no chance for us to escape. I was relieved that I didn't have to leave the submarine, so I could get on with my ocean research. It was getting close to evening when Captain Nemo came to find me and asked if I wanted to go with him on a nighttime expedition. Ned and Conseil weren't invited on this trip, but I was excited to see what it was that Nemo wanted to show me. Nemo and I put on the special suits and left the submarine. As we were walking along the ocean floor, I could see a strange red glow in the distance. I didn't know what it could be, but I thought it might have been an underwater city, just like the ones that Nemo had dreamed of building. We kept walking towards the red glow, and the ocean floor began to slope upwards. We were walking up the side of a mountain. I began to feel tired, but Nemo didn't stop to rest, so I had no choice but to follow him. We walked for 2 hours until we were near the top of the mountain. We were surrounded by the strangest-looking crabs I had ever seen. I wanted to stop and look at the crabs, but Nemo kept on walking. We reached a plateau on the mountain, and I could see some pile of stones that didn't look like they had got there naturally. In fact, they looked like a man had placed them there. Nemo wouldn't let me stop to look at them either. Finally, we reached the top of the mountain, and I saw what was causing the strange red glow. It was an underwater volcano that had jets of lava coming out of it. I saw a city beyond the volcano. It looked ancient, like it had been built by the Romans or the Greeks. It had all been destroyed, and the stone was crumbling. "This is Atlantis," Nemo told me. He took me to explore the Lost City. I wanted to stay there for hours to discover all the secrets of the Lost City. But after only an hour, Nemo took me back to the Nautilus. The trip back to the submarine took twice as long as the journey to the city had. The next day, the Nautilus was moving along the bottom of the Atlantic, and Conseil and I were watching the sea creatures through the glass sides of the museum. As I watched, I noticed that the ocean floor was changing. It looked like we were heading towards a giant wall of rock. When we reached the wall of rock, the steel sides slid closed. The following day, we were on the surface of the water. I was really confused when I went onto deck as it was dark, but I knew that it was daytime. "We are underground," Nemo told me. I didn't understand how we had managed to get underground from being underwater. The lights on the Nautilus were all on. We were floating in a little lake inside an old volcano. We had come here to mine some coal. It was one of the places that Nemo came to get sodium he needed to make the electricity for the Nautilus. As the submarine wasn't going anywhere for a while, so Ned, Conseil and I left to explore the only volcano. We walked up a path that ended at a group of rocks and some trees. It was strange to find a forest underground, but hanging from one of the trees was a beehive. Ned wanted to go and get honey for the hive so that he could make gingerbread. I watched him climb up the tree and get the honey out of the hive without getting stung. He carried on exploring and found some birds. Ned killed one of them with a rock to take it back to the submarine to eat. After Ned had found all the food that he wanted, we went back to the shore by the lake and lay there. Ned started to talk about escaping again, but before he could finish, Conseil noticed that the cave was starting to fill with water. So we hurried back to the Nautilus. Nemo didn't leave the cave until he was sure that it was night. I thought that he didn't want us to know where the cave was. The next day, we were back in the ocean. We were now in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and any chance of escape was a distant memory. The Nautilus went through an area called the Sargasso Sea, where the ocean floor was covered with seaweed that was so thick that it looked like a carpet. We kept going south for 2 weeks, staying in the middle of the ocean, far away from land. I began to feel very nervous about being on the submarine again. I thought about asking Nemo if he could let us go, but I didn't have the courage to ask him. By the 13th of March, 1868, we had now travelled 13,000 leagues, and Nemo had decided to take the Nautilus diving. He took the submarine 16,000 metres down below the waves and even managed to take a picture of the ocean depths for me to keep. Nobody had ever been this deep in the ocean before. We didn't stay down there very long, as Nemo knew that the pressure that deep would damage the Nautilus if we stayed down there too long. We were there for only 4 minutes before we went back to the surface. After we had been diving, the Nautilus continued south. I didn't know where Nemo was taking us, but I did know that we weren't going to be able to escape any time soon. As Ned knew that we wouldn't be able to escape, he started to talk about taking over the submarine again. "How many crew do you think the submarine has?" he asked me. "You only need 10 men to run the Nautilus," I replied. I was worried about what Ned was going to do next. Therefore, I told him I thought that there were more than 10 men on the submarine, as Nemo kept gathering outcasts from society and bringing them onto the ship. I worked out that 625 men could live on the Nautilus, and Conseil was sure that if there were that many men, we'd never be able to take control of the submarine. "We can't go south forever. Eventually, we will have to go back to land," I told Ned. Ned was angry about not being able to escape or take over the ship. So he left Conseil and I to watch the fish. Ned didn't care about exploring the ocean anymore. He just wanted to go home. But later that day, something happened that cheered Ned up. The Nautilus came across a group of whales. The submarine went to the surface and we watched them from the deck. We were now in the Antarctic Ocean. And Ned was so excited to see so many whales that he wanted to spear some of them. He started to tell us stories about his days hunting whales in the past, before he ran off to find Nemo to ask if he could hunt the whales. Captain Nemo didn't want Ned to kill any of the whales, which Ned wasn't happy about. Though Ned didn't like it, I didn't like hunting whales any more than Nemo did. The senseless and relentless hunters will one day make the last whale disappear from the ocean. The Antarctic whales swam around us, and Ned came back to the deck to watch us. There were some dark shapes in the distance that Ned pointed to. They were sperm whales that were coming to attack the Antarctic whales. Ned wanted to kill some of the sperm whales to keep them away from the submarine. But Nemo told him the steel ram on the Nautilus can deal with the sperm whales. The captain ordered us to go inside, and the submarine dived beneath the waves and set about dealing with the sperm whales. Ned watched through the glass sides of the ship as the Nautilus killed many of the sperm whales, and the ones that were still alive swam away. It was the most fun that Ned had on the submarine. Nemo had saved many of the Antarctic whales from the sperm whales, but not all of them. One of the dead whales was a mother, so the Nautilus pulled alongside her to harvest her milk. After we'd seen the whales, Ned's opinion of Nemo went down very quickly. As we went further south, we began to see ice around the Nautilus. When we were on the surface, we passed whole islands that were completely made from ice. Captain Nemo spent a lot of time on deck watching the progress of the ship through the icy waters. He didn't say anything to anyone when he was doing this. We kept moving through the ice land for several days. Conseil thought that we would have to turn round soon, but I wasn't so sure. Captain Nemo seemed to keep finding new paths through the ice. When it seemed like there was no way we could go any further, Nemo used the steel ram to break through the ice until we couldn't go any further. We were now stuck in an icy wilderness that even impressed Ned Land. "I don't think we can go any further," I said. Nemo told me that he had never been to the pole before, but he wanted to reach it by going under the ice. We needed to take more air on board than normal in order to go under the ice. Otherwise, we might suffocate. If we got stuck under the ice, then we would run out of air. I was so excited about going under the ice that I wasn't even worried about suffocating. Ned didn't seem to care about anything anymore, and Conseil was as happy as ever to do whatever I wanted. Ned was certain that we were never going to make it back from the pole and went to sit on his own in his cabin. Some of the crew of the Nautilus started to hack their way through the ice around the submarine with pickaxes until we were free of the ice. Then we went down under the water. When we tried to come up under the pole, we were stuck under the ice. The crew were out in the special suits to try and break through the ice above us. It took 3 days for them to hack their way through ice and for us to reach the surface. It was 6 a.m. when Nemo came to tell me we had reached the surface.